12. And do we have number 12? And the interviewer is number
13.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so what is your way?
You do the interview.
Okay.
Just let me we're present, I totally forgot this one.
Keep your time.
Good stuff.
Okay.
Okay, so in the moment just before the beep, what was going on for you?
Well, I must say that was totally unimportant or something moment, because I totally know if I try to think about it, I can't really remember the difference from the other first beat that I can totally think of how I felt at that moment. So, but I it says here, I was just typing, obviously I was typing a word into subjectivity, into my word. I was listening to, I can't remember whoever was talking, and then there was this idea, this association that came. Oh yeah, you were. That was during the
maybe.
So I got some association. I got this idea that something triggered some idea. So I was typing the word intersubjectivity. And yes, the word I heard was wonderful, and that so the, and there were like at least three tracks that I can remember, and at the same time I think, although after I finished that, I think that perhaps wonderful came already within the beep or after the beep, something like that. But that's the best of my ability to remember, and there was this track. I don't know how this association came, but I tried to remember the name of some guy that did some theory, some mathematical theory. I woke up this morning with this question, and then I forgot, but then I couldn't remember, and now I was trying to find this name, and I was locating it in, I tried to associate it somehow, and this was parallel to the other two things.
Okay, so there were three things going on that you've mentioned so far. You were typing a word.
Exactly.
And you had just heard Steve say wonderful. And
maybe I was just about to say wonderful.
You don't know for sure.
I'm not sure that was it. I just had this word in my mind when I was writing these notes. Mm-hmm. So it might came a little bit after, but well, I can't tell.
Okay. And you were trying to remember the name of somebody who's escaped you at the moment.
Yes, and I wanted to suppress this. It's very annoying because I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But in the other part of me tried to suppress this activity.
So you're describing a fourth thing. You were feeling, or even a fifth thing. You were feeling annoyed. And you were trying to suppress your feeling, or trying to suppress the activity?
I didn't feel annoyed. It was, let's say there were like three tracks going on.
Okay.
And one was listening to whatever. Still, I'm joking. one was hearing, so that was, the other was typing, because I had this this idea what I could about something, and the other was this, you know, it was like popping up, it just popped up at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
This again, something associates me, and I wanted to remember, but that was not, let's say, volitional, it just came up again, like fifth time this day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, let's say, annoyed to this idea that I have to search, dig for this name, but it's not that I could describe the whole status and be annoyed.
But there was a thread of annoyance. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that was this voice, this activity, searching activity coming, and I tried to suppress it.
Okay, so a searching activity. There's a lot going on. I don't know where to start. There's this searching activity Did you have a feeling like actively looking when you say searching? Kind of, I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah.
Digging around, or
yes, yes, it's sort of a process. Mm-hmm. I have to digress. I started this morning. I don't know how I came to it. I just mm-hmm. there's some theory, some, mm-hmm. And I couldn't remember it.
Mm-hmm.
And now, and then I said, well, I remember it later. It always comes when I stop thinking about
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And it came a couple of times during the day, and that mm-hmm. was one of it. Exactly mm-hmm. the moment it came. So mm-hmm. this is like independent activity that goes on.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, and it's like the flash of consciousness like somehow went through it, and it came
into
mind.
This kind of searching
yeah.
activity.
Yes.
Okay, and then there was the suppressing activity at the same time. It wasn't one first and then the other. They both were there at the same time.
But when I noticed it coming, I didn't want it to. I didn't want it to interfere at that moment with my listening and my writing my idea.
Mm-hmm.
So, but now talking about it like that, it puts perhaps too much emphasis. It was somewhere in the peripheral view, you know. All this was going somewhere there. I can see it somewhere there. So it was not like the, it was, let's say, 20% of my attention was directed to this.
What would you say was the, if you can you say that one of the things that you've described was the main thing?
I'm not sure, but there is another writing I forgot to tell before, so perhaps I can see this moment of mine as normally I can as a whole. So trying to divide it like that seems so sort of artificial to say which is the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was all together,
okay.
And I can also remember my posture. I was a little bit like that, like clumped, or is that the word or something?
Hunched.
Uh-huh. Okay, and I felt a little bit of pressure around here. Mm-hmm. So all that, this pressure being hunched and sort of a little bit fogginess in everything, that was the feeling of how it is to be me at that moment.
Okay.
So it's hard to say that, let's say, probably if I had to, I would say this writing, because the idea was alive at that point, typing this word. This idea was probably the biggest percentage of my focus.
Okay. So were you, when you were typing the word, were you, would you say your focus was more on the activity of your fingers typing, or were you saying the word, or was the idea, there was a bigger idea?
Uh-huh. No, it was not, because I totally can't remember the idea right
mm-hmm.
now,
mm-hmm.
and I think it left. The moment the beep sounded, the idea left. So I was somehow almost watching how it comes. It was just the seed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I knew if the beep wouldn't come, I would finish the sentence. It's something left to another word and so on. So
mm-hmm.
so there was, it was not articulated yet.
Okay.
That was idea, not worded idea, to use words from your books,
mm-hmm.
Not worded. So I knew it, but it was not, it needed some energy to be put into words.
Okay, so you weren't there yet. Yeah, I think there's so much going on, maybe somebody else would like to step in.
Well, can I just ask, were you, did you have any visual awareness of it?
No, if I think of it now, I just can see the word inter-sub, something like that. That's where the beep sounds.
Where is it?
I can see my laptop screen, and it's like in the middle.
So, were you visually aware only of the word? Were you aware of the laptop screen as well?
Well, you know, I'm confabulating now. It's not.
Does that mean to say that you're
probably I was, but that's not how I remember.
Well, okay, do comment on this, Russ, if you want. But it seems to me that if you were looking at the word, then you must have been visually aware of more than just the word. I mean, well, maybe you were only aware of
it. Oh, now I remember. Yes, I was actually more watching my fingers type. Mm-hmm. I can see the keyboard, and that was there. So I can't say that I was aware of more of the context, or the sentence, or the screen, or something. I was actually watching my fingers type, although I can vividly remember the word. Just the word.
Were you aware of your fingers? Were you aware of movements of your fingers?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you were not just visually aware, but you
Yes. I remember now. I was actually very much. I liked that feeling of typing quickly something, and something. You know, it was not. I had to think because, as I said, it was coming right from somewhere, and I really liked this feeling. Yes, I remember of typing. So yes, I was aware of fingers and of the touch of these clicks.
And did you have any auditory awareness?
Well, the auditory was wonderful, or something before that.
But was there anything else besides the word wonderful? I mean, was it just wonderful? I mean, just the word wonderful, or what, you know?
No, I think it was the sound of your voice. I wrote wonderful because I thought was the word that really remained. Although I had later feeling that it came after the beep, or during the beep, or something like that. But I think it was the sound of your voice that actually triggered all this.
No, I'm just interested in what I'm interested in is that you described a lot of things, but you didn't describe these very basic kind of sensory sort of pieces of sensory awareness.
Yeah, that's probably the bodily awareness. I don't know, but I felt
hunched.
I don't know what. I'm putting K in
here. Clenched is very rude.
I felt clenched. I felt
crunch.
A little bit stiff. Also here, that was this position. And I somehow, if I describe this to my, or if I remember the position I was in, I can totally remember the state of this holistic state of the overall state of my consciousness at that point.
So maybe it would be a good idea for me to interrupt this flow and have and talk about it for just a few minutes before,
yes.
Before we have to be done. So I think in general the interviewing was pretty good, and I think that we should believe sort of half of what he said and not believe the other half of what he said.
Yes, exactly.
Can I ask a question? In what way was the interviewing good? What constitutes good?
Well, I didn't think it was excessively leading until maybe when we got to the end, where it got to be pretty leading. And as we got closer and closer to the end, his comments probably got less and less believable, which doesn't necessarily mean that what he was saying is not true. It means that we have led pretty strongly there at the end. Were you sure you weren't looking at
it? He was just repeating his stuff about being clenched. I mean, that was from earlier on. So that was... If it was believable earlier on, it was believable later on.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to say about that was that we never really got careful, and this is an interviewing technique, we never did really get careful about wanting to know whether his clenched or hunched feeling was present in his awareness, present to him right at the moment of the beep, or whether his body was, in fact, as a fact of the universe like this. And then when he took stock after the beep, discovered that he had some pain here, mm-hmm. some whatever there. We didn't do that interrogation as accurately as I would have liked to have done early on. And the longer the interview goes on, the less believable a response is to that. So I guess as in the critique of the interview, we were not as careful about the moment of the beep as we might have been. To really differentiate between what was right at the moment of the beep and what was sort of in the vicinity of right after the beep.
How did you deal with the fact that, you know, in the first several minutes there were like a bunch of different things that came up, and I really didn't know what the right thing to focus on was?
Well, I think that was one of the things that I thought you did a good job of, mm-hmm. that you allowed him to say, because if we analyze what he actually said, his first paragraph was about, well, there wasn't really anything, I can't really be sure, I'm not really positive, mm-hmm. distancing himself from the whole project. And then as soon as he was done with that, he said, well, there were exactly three tracks, and this is maybe a fourth and a fifth. I don't know that. So how do you, what do you deal with that? And the answer is, well, I think you have to iterate through that. So it's, at this point, it's really quite difficult to know whether the first part where he said, well, I don't really know, there wasn't really anything, I'm not sure, is the right description of what's going on at the moment of the beat, or whether the second part, whether he was actually true, whether he had these three tracks, is actually the at the moment of the beep experience. And I don't think there's any way to disentangle that in this particular moment. So what you do is you honor both parts of that. Well, at the beginning, Irvine, you said, I wasn't interested, didn't really know, I couldn't really tell. And at the end, you were really quite clear about, what's that about? I don't really care which is right. I'd just like to know what your experience is. Somehow you have to convey that to Irvine so that the next time around, he's more skillful at differentiating that, and we can talk more carefully about the actual experience at the moment of beat. That's the why iterative is required. This is a first sample, first chance that Irvine has had of talking about his experience. That he's not very good at it yet, and we need to build his skill set. And the other thing I think that was at the moment of the beat thing is about his annoyance. It wasn't clear to me that whether his annoyance was actually in his experience at the moment of the beat. There was something about this that was annoying. But that does not mean that he experienced annoyance right then. Mm-hmm. And we didn't really tease that detail apart. And here again, I would want to be conveying to him, I don't really care whether you're annoyed or not, as long as we get at the experience that was right there. And if you were annoyed, then I'd like to know what that annoyed felt. But if you weren't, this was an annoying process, but you didn't experience annoyance, which is fine, then that would be okay too.
On what basis can you judge that Irvine isn't good at relating to us his inner experience?
Well, that's a good question. So he might be very good at it, and so both parts were true, and I didn't figure out yet how to understand it. So that's quite true. So what I guess I should have said was that Irvine and I are not yet skillful in an interpersonal way of figuring out what's really going on with him at the moment of the beep, or what seems to me to be really going on at the moment of the beep. If we were to sample longer, we would get rid of the things. He gave some explanations about why, well, I talked about this early in the morning and then five times. Those are the kinds of things which are not about the moment of the beep. And if Irvine were really skilled, he wouldn't be telling me about that, because he would see that I didn't really care about that. Because that's a confabulative explanation of why he's thinking about that now, which is probably only about half true, and I would like us to do better than that. And with some practice, he'd be less talking about that and more talking about what was happening right at the moment of the beep as an experience.
Okay. So you see it as a co-conscious exercise.
Absolutely.
Can I just add to this? I knew, you know, I do this quite a lot. I'm not this, but trying to report. And I knew, for example, this, what you mentioned, that this is totally not fitting to this mentioning that I woke this morning, but I didn't know how to convey this idea of this popping out without giving some history, you know.
And actually, you did say, this isn't relevant.
I know this, and there are a number of other things I know they are not relevant for the moment, but I was just trying to convey this this feeling, for example, of this coming just involuntarily out. And that is one thing I would like to say. I don't know. I mean, just a question. Should I not mention it and just say this was popping out and perhaps go more into explanation of how it feels like when it...
Well, the kind of... So when you mentioned that it was popping out, and I'll get back to you in just a second. When you mentioned that it was just popping out, you used a couple of verbs like voice, that it was voice, this popping. So we never really got to the phenomenon of what this popping was like. So I would have wanted to know, when you said voice, did you mean that there was something verbal about
it? I never said voice.
Can I play back?
No, I didn't say voice. Did I?
No.
I heard voice.
I didn't hear voice.
It's just subjective. I don't remember voice. Anyway.
I don't remember voice. But I
remember
voice, but
I thought
maybe
I'd just
Okay, but that doesn't matter.
But either way, it doesn't particularly matter. I would have said I heard you say voice, and you would have said no, I didn't say voice, which would have been fine. But I would have wanted to get to the phenomenon of what you meant by popped up.
which I don't think we actually got to. There was something about the popping upness. I was accepting of that. But how that pop upness is, was that a visual thing, a vocal thing, an auditory thing? Which we never really examined.
Right.
I can see why you really want to stay with the moment of the experience to try and minimize the possibilities of misremembering, confabulation, you know, interpretation, socialization, all that stuff. But it's a question, not a critique at all, just a question. It just seemed to me that there would be various situations where one might be using a technique of this sort, let's say a clinical situation, which, of course, I haven't told you at all, where it would become very relevant to start off with the momentary experience, but then actually explore the fact that he felt annoyed. And that it's a little bit like, you know, here's a hook, and behind that hook lies a thread. And a lot of the business of clinical exploration is allowing people to explore that thread and seeing actually where that leads. So I'm just wondering if you use it in that way as well, or whether you would object to this technique being adapted to that kind of use.
I've kept this, my research, pretty separate from my psychotherapy practice for the most part. There's a few exceptions to that. I don't have any objection to doing it the way you described it. The problem is, I think that most people who would do that would confuse the two, so they wouldn't be clearly about the experience, and as separate, firewalled away from the exploration of the experience. And I think that muddies both waters pretty dramatically.
We should. It is 12:30. Let me say that. So why don't we formally break, and then people want to continue.